Welcome to this episode of the Women in Technology Spotlight. Today I have with me Jennifer Culpepper. She is a data analyst. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to talk to you today. And before we dive into what you do as a data analyst, let's talk a little bit about yourself.
I'm Jennifer. I've actually just moved to Vienna about 2 years ago, so I'm still very new to Austria and loving it so far. Originally, I'm from Germany. From a pretty small town close to Frankfurt. And then I did my bachelor's in Stuttgart. So I've been moving around quite a lot and now finally found my home here.
So what brought you to Vienna specifically? Was it the job or was it just the attraction of Vienna as a...
I mean, it's a couple aspects. Mostly it was the master's degree. I'm studying at the University of Economics here. And of course, that is a very well-known university internationally. So that was very attractive. But also just Vienna as a city is phenomenal. It's just gorgeous. So I've always been a fan and wanted to move if I could. So I was really happy when I finally found a reason to move.
So you say you're studying at the University of Economy. What exactly is the studies you're doing?
I'm in the management master's program.
Okay.
So this is a very general master's program, I'd say. There's also for international management. This one is just management in general and covers all different aspects.
So I know that you are a data analyst, and this is the reason I invited you on the Women in Technology Spotlight. Can you tell us a little bit about how you became a data analyst and how that meshes with studying at the University of Economy management and what your plans are with that?
Yeah, well, it's been quite a journey, I'd say. Starting off, think this kind of suits me or my whole personality, kind of, I would think, because I've always been a very curious person. I mean, chosen the fact that I think that lifelong learning is just so important, but it also shows in me when I was a child, I would ask all the questions. So I'm a very curious person. I love gaining knowledge, understanding things around me and understanding the world around me. And so it made sense for me to tap into moving to another country to pursue my degree and then also working in a completely different field. But honestly, I think I never really thought that I would move into data. I could not have imagined that when I was younger.
I think curiosity and lifelong learning is something that a lot of women who work in tech have, because I think it's kind of like a prerequisite. Tech is a field that changes a lot very quickly. There's always something new to learn. And a lot of us are driven by this urge to understand how things work. And so about how things work, I think a lot of people are a bit confused about the different jobs that are available in the space. There's the data engineer, there's the data scientist, there's the data analyst. So what does a data analyst actually do? Or what do you do? Maybe it's not even a question that we can answer universally, but you as a data analyst, what is your job like? What do you actually do?
I see it just the way that you do. I mean, that's just a general fact that there are so many different jobs in data, and it's kind of difficult in the beginning to find your space. So for me, I think it fits quite well to my personality, what I professionally do, because I work with different data sources and I use that data to help big companies in the healthcare sector. So what I particularly like about my position is that my tasks are very diverse. Just as the different job titles are diverse, the tasks will be too. Sometimes this is about launching new products. Sometimes I help with providing an overview of the market or different trends and insights into development. So what I analyze, that is always different. And I think what remains the same is that it just has a major impact on the healthcare industry and many patient lives in Austria. And of course, just getting a better understanding of the world around us.
Okay, that makes sense that you take data that the company has and you make predictions or you make analysis to understand what's needed. Is that how I can imagine what you're doing?
Yeah, kind of. Just that I do it for different companies. So this is a consulting that I do with the data that we have. And then we can apply this to different companies to give an overview of the whole market.
This sounds like something that will be done more and more, I think, you know, using data sources and outsourcing, you know, that part of knowledge gathering to like a consultancy firm, because I don't think that every single company has the ability to gather enough data to make proper predictions.
I could imagine that, especially, I think it depends on the sector. There are some sectors that are more data literate, so they find it a lot easier to work with data and they also collect more data themselves. So maybe they will not need it, but they will also need the people to do it. And then on the other hand, there are smaller firms or there are sectors, a lot like the healthcare sector, I would say, that are slow with data literacy and that need people who have a bigger understanding, see a bigger picture, can explain the data, and then also analyze it.
Yeah, that brings me to another characteristic of women working in tech. So we talked about curiosity and lifelong learning, but I think communication talent is also something, right, that you can talk to people.
Absolutely. For a long time, actually, I thought I was going to stay in sales because that was what I was just good at. And I thought that made a lot of sense with my personality and my strength in communication. But then I saw that, yes, working in data, one thing that you have to have, one skill that you need to learn is how to communicate your results so that the people who need to understand them can actually have a full understanding.
I love that because it's the opposite of what people imagine when we talk about working in tech, because people think you sit in front of your computer and you code and you don't speak to anyone and probably you're in a dimly lit room with a hoodie. But what we do is the complete opposite of that. So you have to be willing to talk to people, you have to be outgoing, you have to be technically, you know, literate, but it's not at all what people think it is, right?
And I think that's actually an aspect that blocked me from going into that direction for a long time, because my image of what I would say the whole IT branch used to look like was very different from what it actually is. And I didn't think that my strengths would actually be appreciated there. So, of course, I have to have the technical knowledge. And I didn't think that it was half as interesting as it is. And I think what really got me was seeing how I can solve small and complex problems on an everyday basis. I think that's something that's not often talked about. We talk a lot about sitting in front of the computer all day, but we don't talk about why people would enjoy sitting in front of a computer all day, because there's so many small wins that I have throughout the day in my work. And I think that should be talked about a lot more.
I completely agree. And that touches on something that's very important to me, because I absolutely feel that a lot of people don't choose a career, especially women don't choose a career in tech, because they don't understand how interesting and diverse it actually is to work in tech. And, you know, you talking about that really touches me, because this is something that happens so often. So many women say this, you know, they didn't choose this career to begin with because they didn't think it was for them or that their skills would be appreciated, while we have so much to contribute here. But what kind of school did you go to? Or what happened to change?
I always have to laugh when I say this, but this was a hobby for a long time. So I was always interested in what programming looked like. So I did like the regular Hello World Python courses just to see what programming would be like. Didn't quite spark it yet. That wasn't it. What was it was that I was working in controlling and this company wanted to try this new software, Power BI. And I was looking into it and it was new for the company as well. And it was actually just supposed to be for testing, but I loved it right away. There were just so many questions that I had that I could finally answer through data, which we were working with Excel before. And it was just such an upgrade. You could see it was such an upgrade. And that really sparked it for me. After that, I knew this is probably the direction I want to go in. Yeah.
So what I hear is that, like many women, you just kind of stumbled into the whole thing. I mean, not quite, because you said you did this Python courses and Hello World, which is a bit more than a lot of people have done before they actually accidentally stumble into tech. But still, it feels so random, and it's a bit sad. I mean, it's great. I love it, but it's a bit sad because of, you know, the whole background and the way tech is shown in the media and in books and everywhere. It seems so inapproachable for many people. And it's not just women. It is women, especially because we're not encouraged to go into tech. But I feel that nowadays it's even boys too. A lot of, I think, young boys aren't interested in tech anymore either, because it just seems boring and inaccessible. And I wish we could talk more about why we actually love it. And that would be my next question. Why do you love doing this now?
I mean, for me, really, it changed my day-to-day. And there's hardly any aspect that I don't love about it. Let me put it that way. Because as I said, the small wins throughout the day that I get when I solve small problems or bigger problems, that really changes the way that I work and the way that I enjoy my work. So I remember when I first started, let me put it this way. When I first started, I think getting into data is very difficult. getting into programming even more. Because in the beginning, you will sometimes sit on a problem for hours and hours, and it can be tedious. But then when you get it right, after trying and trying, the feeling that that got me was unmatched. Throughout my career, I have never felt anything the way that I have that. And that, I think, is what got me addicted. I love seeing the result when after a couple of times it didn't work, it finally does. And how much I learned from that, too, is so obvious every single time. And I don't think I had that in any other field. Now, in the second step, when I have a client or I have maybe a boss or maybe I have a colleague who are looking at the data for the first time and then explaining and seeing them understand their world in a way better, gives me so much joy. So that's really what I like about it. And I, to the other point, that this is a field that is often being so uninteresting or so unattractive to young women especially, but also men, I have two thoughts. One is that on one hand, I hope that within the next generations, these things are going to change, because I think when I was younger, if I think of the early 2000s, the idea of an IT background person was very different from what it is nowadays. That has changed a lot. And I think it has opened some doors at least. And it also makes me wonder, looking at the next generations, in what ways this job is going to change. And if they're up for the task, because of course you're going to need the basics, but you will also have to learn how to adapt quickly. And then eventually, I think we will have a lot of AI models that might actually change our work in a way that they work more for us, and we will need a lot less understanding. So I'm very interested in seeing how that is going to play out. And I think that's also an important aspect of the job, that it does not stay the same. It is in so much change, and I can already see that change happening for the next couple of decades. And I think that's a very rare aspect, too, to have in your career.
That's such a good point. I think a lot of us who are enthusiastic about this job are enthusiastic about it because we see the fact that this is not a static field, that something new is happening. And now you mentioned AI, obviously, we're just at the beginning. A lot of stuff has already been, you know, developed, but it's just the beginning. It's like the first days of the internet in reality. So there's all these possibility, and it's opening up, and it will change the way we work, and it will change the way tech works, obviously. We don't know how yet, but it's just, you can be a part of it. And a lot of what it takes to get people into tech is, I think, communicating that enthusiasm of this world. And I think you did a great job just now, just explaining why you got hooked. And this is, of course, first is the success that you feel when you learn something, because of course, maybe in the beginning, the learning curve might be a bit steep, but then there's this moment when you realize, oh, I can understand this, you know, and you have the first results. And I think the other thing is that it's not necessarily about the tech or the software or, you know, what kind of programming language you're actually using. It's about the results you create, that you actually change something in the world around you, knowledge, information, or how something works. And I think you talked about that well when you said, yeah, you have the data and then you create something from it, because it's not about the tech. It's about what you make out of with it, I think.
Exactly. I mean, I would say the tech part can be interesting as well. Yes, absolutely. I enjoy the process as well, but yes, it is the result.
Absolutely. I mean, tech is a part of it, but it's not just tech for tech's sake. I think the people who did tech for tech's sake were those people you talked about in the early days of tech. You know, they did tech for tech's sake, and then they created all this stuff. But now you have a lot of people who are just fascinated by what they can achieve with that tech. Because,
exactly, and that's also...
Yes, as a tool, exactly. Because our world has changed, we are now in this world where everything is digitalized. So you have tech in every little detail and aspect of your life. So there's absolutely an opportunity to have a job that's somehow technical in nearly every field, and it doesn't matter what it is. You could be someone who loves to knit, and you could find a way to use tech to augment that. I mean, so there are opportunities that weren't there in the beginning. So yeah, I can totally understand how that aspect took you and moved you over that border into tech.
And I mean, it's not just using it as a tool. I think what is really important about it is also that it is an ever-evolving tool. There are so many tools there. So if you start off with one, I think, as we said in the beginning, it can be difficult to learn. But once you've mastered one, you will easily, and I can promise that to anyone, you will want to look for more tools to use. So within, you know, a couple of years, you have such an expansion of your horizon. And I think that is, I would always recommend the positions, or I would always recommend the field for people who are very interested in learning. If you like to learn, if you've always been someone who likes to see new things, learn about new cultures, maybe learn new languages, someone like that is definitely going to love anything tech related.
I think that brings us back to the lifelong learning that you mentioned initially. That is absolutely a prerequisite for a job in tech. But what I also thought when you said, when you start using the first tool and you learn about it and then you will progress to other tools, I think what you also build is confidence, right? Because with those first wins, it just augments your ability to feel confident that you will in the next thing as well, right?
And I think it's both ways. Yeah. I think on one hand, yes, you will build confidence. On the other, it will humble you again and again and appreciate that as well. You know, tech definitely goes both ways. And there are days that I'm being and I enjoy that part of the process just as much. So.
Yeah, true. There's always something when you think, oh, I thought I knew something about tech, but then...
I think that's a big skill in itself, you know, learning that resilience of, okay, it didn't work. What was it? Let me try again, because the software or the program is only going to be as smart as you are. It is made for you to use it. So the mistake is probably on your hand. And I think overcoming that and trying again and again, that is an important life skill that translates to so many things.
That's also another skill that's really important, resilience. And that's a skill that's going to be very important, not just in tech. I think in the world we're moving into, resilience will be a big part of what helps you be successful, because you actually have, and I do believe that is going to be a thing in the next 20, 30, 40 years. The world is becoming very complex. There's a lot of issues that are arising. And I think resilience in the face of this adversity will be something that will help you, you know, achieve success. So it's lifelong learning, curiosity, resilience, and all these things that you mentioned that someone working in tech will absolutely need. And maybe as a look at the other side, did you experience any obstacles moving into tech? Is there something that stuck?
I mean, I would say the last couple of years, because I moved into tech while simultaneously studying something very different. I have my economics background and my management in my bachelor's, and then went into management here. And I think working and learning at the same time as studying something different, that can be a lot, no doubt. So I would say there were no obstacles for me to go into tech per se, but there was a lot of juggling going around.
That's good to hear, because it also shows that it is possible to do numerous things at the same time. It's probably a question of time management, again, resilience, because obviously not easy when you have so many things on your plate. But it's good to hear that those were the only obstacles you really faced, because that's something that women are often worried about as well. When they go into tech, how would it be? Will I be welcome? Will I feel good there? But maybe as an end to our discussion, you could maybe share a tip or some, I don't know, quote or whatever that gets you through the day.
I mean, one quote that definitely gets me through the day, or one motto that I always have, is no one is you, and that is your power. So when I was younger, especially, I struggled a lot with imposter syndrome. And I think going into tech, women can experience that a lot. In the beginning, as I said, it does humble you. It does humble you a lot. So you can question, is this the right field for me? Am I really doing the right thing? And then, of course, the idea of a tech person can be so different from who you are. So it makes kind of sense to have that thought come up and that doubt come up. And you need to make sure that you remind yourself in basically whatever you do, whether that is tech or something else, there is nobody who is going to do the thing exactly the same way that you will. And I think that is something very, very special to think about. So I gain a lot of strength from knowing that I can do the things in a way that I do.
That's perfect, actually. And I was at a role model event like 2 weeks ago. And I think one of the things I also said to these kids was that being different is actually, you know, something that is helpful, because it's often, you know, you feel, oh, I'm different from the others. Maybe my skills don't fit. But your uniqueness, as you said, is actually a benefit, because it makes you see the world in a different way. And that's what we need. We need as many different views on a problem as possible to find a solution as quickly as possible. So thank you for that.
I've seen that in any team I've worked in, whether that was sales or this was tech, whatever it was in school, the perspectives that I can bring in, they usually come from a very different point of view than the others. And it is so important to hear out different views. And that is one thing that I would say is missing in tech right now. The more women we get, the more young and older people we can mix in teams, the more perspectives we will achieve, and the more or the better we can balance out decisions and discuss them.
Absolutely. And I think that is the reason we have to remind people that diversity, equity, and inclusion are not buzzwords. This is really about creating the best tech possible, because I feel it has deteriorated into something that's kind of like, you know, like a brand augmentation thing for many companies. Oh, we have AI, but people have forgotten why this is important. And exactly what you mentioned is the reason why it's important, because you need all these different perspectives from old people, young people, women, men, you know, all the diversity that's possible. I just mentioned a few of it, but, you know, we have to listen to everyone to build the best world possible.
Absolutely. And I think that's actually a view that I got from studying management. The more perspectives we get, it is definitely shown in studies that the better results we can achieve. So this is not wishful thinking, and this is not just a diversity idea for buzzwords, but this is actual economic facts that diversity will push us forward if we apply it correctly.
Exactly. If you apply it correctly, if you bring all these people in, and then if you actually listen to them, because that's also an aspect that sometimes gets forgotten, that people are hired because, you know, they're more diverse and then they're in the team and nobody listens to them. That does not help at all. So you have to bring these teams together, and then you have to, you know, make sure that they meet on an equal footing so everyone can bring in their perspective. So.
Absolutely. I think it's not just being listened to. I think it's also, you know, sometimes companies will hire someone just to show off their diversity, but then people in those positions are not supported in the way that they need to be. So if you are maybe the only woman in a team, there is extra baggage that comes with that. And management should be aware of that in case that there are any problems. It helped me a lot when I held a previous position. I had a manager who made sure to let me know that he got my back. And that was very important for me. Obviously, there is no scenario in which I would abuse that. But it makes me feel so much more supported and appreciated. And it gives me the space to also make mistakes. I think that is some very, very important aspect. Being able to make mistakes, I think, is in tech even more important than it is in any other part.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that can hinder you the most from making progress is being afraid of making mistakes, because, you know, you never learn if you don't make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes when they try to learn something new. And we mustn't forget that going into tech is a lot of like learning how to walk for the first time. So
it has to be trial and error. It has to be, yes.
It has to be, yeah. And then you find the best way to do it at some point. And I think you mentioned something really, really important about the way that managers have to support, you know, the diverse talent, because I have seen this. I've seen so many women leave companies because they were hired because, you know, we want more diversity, we want more women. And then they came into teams. I mean, management, top management meant well, HR meant well, talent meant well, but then they came into these teams and the managers didn't know what to do with them in the end. And they just kind of slowly withered away in those positions. So this is so important that, you know, you have someone who's there who understands that you need a different kind of support, maybe.
Absolutely. I mean, from a management perspective, it is clear that top management and management need to pull on, need to be on the same side here, and being able to support candidates or being able to support entry-level positions in the way that they need it. I think later on, it gets less important, I would say, because you kind of know how to stand your ground. But especially in the beginning, I see that it is missing a lot for young professionals, especially. And then another aspect that I always tell young women, if they pursue a new career, whatever that is that two aspects are, to me at least, the most important. One of them is making sure that you have a community, a network that you know that you can build upon. For me, for example, I have phenomenal siblings who support me a lot, and I know that I can always fall back on that. I think it is important to have that, whether that is friends, whether that is your partner. I think that is something that will get you far. Also, of course, professional communities, making sure that you know people who think like you, who work like you, and making the connections there is priceless. And then I think the second part is making sure that you take care of your mental health and your physical health in a way that is sustainable. And especially when we start out with new career paths, I think we kind of fall into that pattern, or at least that is something for me, that we prioritize it in a way that can be unsustainable long term. So what I always tell people who want to switch is make sure that you balance it out. Make sure you balance it out with taking care of physical health, getting your exercise in, doing your training, and of course, your mental health.
I think you touched on all the really important points of I don't want to even say going into tech for women, but all these important points for making a career long term, because networking is such an essential tool. And it's not about going to events and practicing small talk. It's about building a network of people you can rely on. And I think that's also something a lot of people don't quite understand. They go to events and then they, you know, they do some small talk and then they think they have a network. That's not what it's about. You have to have a community that supports you. That's so important. And you can't do it without the mental health aspect. Absolutely important. And while we're talking about this, I want to segue, because I am part of a network that's called Black Women in Tech, DACH, which is for the Germany, Austria, and Switzerland community. And we host events from time to time. And I think I would love to have you there and talk about these things, because I feel that you understand. I mean, you have a very good grasp of what is important for young women setting out on a career. And I think that's because you are in this unique position of having the management and the economy know-how and the tech know-how. So that is a perfect mix, actually. And I'm thankful that you came on the podcast to share those with us. So I'd like to wrap it up now and say thank you. It has been an absolute pleasure talking to you, Jennifer.
Thank you for having me. Happy to see you.